بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أبراهيم، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Hope everyone is having a good Jumu'ah, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to finish up, inshallah, the majority of the story of Nuh alayhi salam in Surah Hud today. Hopefully, inshallah, with the tawfiq of Allah. We left off on a very important section, which was the boarding of the ark, right, where Nuh alayhi salam was told to bring two of every pair, and it's mentioned about two of every animal. And they had a discussion about which type of animals were brought or whatever was brought. Allah knows best. I mean, subhanAllah, we just see what we have today of biodiversity. And just understand whatever diversity we have now is from the time of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Okay? In terms of the flood though, in terms of how big it was and how expansive it was, majority of the scholars are of the opinion that it was a global flood. Okay? There is another opinion which talks about a localized flood. Both of them agree though that the entire world had to, like all the people on the earth had to be covered. Okay, this is a fact because the Quran would say it, that there was no one else left on the earth, right, other than the people of Nuh alayhi salam. So it could be possibly that it was so close to Adam alayhi salam's time, right? So it's only a few generations afterwards, so there's not many people anyways, right? So that's why they said it could have been a local flood, or it could be a global flood. At the end of the day, I just want everyone to know that it's important that we have these discussions. Sometimes our youth get really bothered by these things because they can't seem to understand it scientifically or whatever. So I wanted you all to see this right here, is that even the historical significance or the importance of Nuh alayhi salam's flood, we can find it within geology, right? You see that recent geologists have identified a massive and sudden flooding of the Persian Gulf surrounding regions between 13,000 and 8,500 years ago. This is basically about the same rough time of Nuh alayhi salam's flood as well. So there's a lot of information here. And I always encourage you all it's going to do is going to prove the truth of the Quran, okay? So I always encourage you, inshallah ta'ala, to look up these things and research these things and see the historical significance behind these things. May Allah give us tawfiq, of course. Just want to mention as a side point before we get into the actual discussion about what we can benefit from these ayats, right? Because that's the purpose here. وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرَاهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا إِنَّ رَبِّي لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is a dua that a person makes when they board a ship or they go over water, okay? بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرَاهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا. Okay? So it says embark on it or embark on it with it, with the name of Allah. Majreha wa mursaha. The word majra means to flow, to sail. And mursa is the place where it will anchor, the place that it will stop. Okay? This Arabic word is the word that's used for time and place. In other words, the word majreha wa mursaha. The majra and the mursa are the place and time. Meaning he's asking Allah Ta'ala to... with the name of Allah, no matter how long it's going to be sailing, and to the point that it will stop, and where it will sail, and where it will stop, and the point that it will say when it will anchor, when it will where it anchor, all those things. When you say this dua, you're thinking about the time, the place, everything that's included. You're making when you say this dua, you're thinking of all those things. Okay. So he told his people. He said, "Qala arkabu fiha bismillahi majreha wa mursaha inna rabbi laghafurur rahim." So the command was this. Nuh alayhi salam was told by Allah Ta'ala to say this dua. The people were also commanded to say this dua because there's something very important in here. The punishment of Allah Ta'ala is coming down. It's going to cover the entire earth. It's going to cover the entire globe. There's no way you're going to survive from this. There's no way you're going to survive from this. The only possible way for you to survive in the time of the punishment of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is that people make the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. When you're remembering Allah, then even if the punishment is there, you'll find salvation, you'll find a place of sanctity and success. So this is the idea here, is that he told all his people, he said, as long as you're on the boat, majreha, bismillahi majreha, mursaha. Or he told them while you're on the boat for the entire duration, keep saying bismillah, bismillah, bismillah. In the name of Allah, it's going to go. In the name of Allah, it's going to move. In the name of Allah, it's going to stop. In the name of Allah, it's going to start. Everything, just keep saying bismillah. From the name of Allah, this place will stay afloat. It'll stay protected. And this is what's required when the punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes. You need to make sure that we make tawbah. Sometimes we forget this completely. And we don't understand that sometimes the trial from Allah is for us to connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We forget to pray the two rakats. We forget to make the dhikr. You know, the entire point of the test was just pass the test. How do you pass the test? Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you'll find that the solution is there. So repentance is needed. And I want you all to notice these things. Yunus alayhi salam is a very beautiful example of this. We spoke about this a little bit in the time of when we did the tafsir of Surah Al-Anbiya. This is a narration of Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu, which he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, which he made in the belly of the whale, La ilaha illa anta, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no Muslim makes dua using these words except that Allah will accept that dua. In the belly of the whale, Yunus alayhi salam is making this. In the darkness of the night, the darkness of the ocean, in the belly of the whale, Yunus alayhi salam within three darknesses is making such an important dua. And in that darkness, what happens is what? This is the Arabic here, and I'll translate it for you all. سمعت أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه ولا أعلم إلا أنس يرفع الحديث إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يونس النبي عليه السلام حين بدا له إي يدعو بهذه الكلمات وهو في بطن الحوت أي يدعو بهذه الكلمات وهو في بطن الحوت. يونس عليه السلام was he was making this dua in لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين while he was in the stomach of the whale. قال اللهم لا إله أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فأقبلت هذه الدعوة تحف بالعرش. It says that this dua, it went up so high, it began to surround the arsh. So to envelop the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ The angel said, يَا رَبِّ صَوْتٌ ضَعِيف مَعْرُوف مِنْ بِلَادٍ غَرِيبًا They said, the angel said, يَا Allah, O our Lord, this is a very weak sound, but it's a sound that we know from a very far off land. Who is this, O Allah? فَقَالَ مَا تَعْرِفُونَ ذَلِكَ The Allah that said to the angels, don't you know who this is? قالوا يا ربي we don't know ومن هو who is it قال عبدي يونس Allah Ta'ala says my slave يونس قالوا عبدك يونس الذي لم يزل يرفع له عمل متقبل ودعوة مجابة and then the angel said your slave يونس the one that his there's always an action which is coming which is accepted from him and there's always a dua that he makes and it's always answered قال نعم Allah says yes this is the يونس قالوا يا ربي And then what happens is the angels, their hearts are melting for Yunus alayhi salam. أَوَلَا تَرْحَمُوا مَا كَانَ يَصْنَعُوا فِي الرَّخَاءِ فَتُنْجِيَهُ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ Say, oh my Lord, wouldn't you have mercy on someone who he would do the same thing in his time of comfort and now you can save him during his time of difficulty? That he would make dua to you at the time of the comfort and the time of difficulty. Allah, isn't it the time to save him now? قَالَ بَلَا Allah says, of course. So أَمَرَ الْحُوتِ فَابْتَرَحُوا فِي الْعَرَاءِ Then Allah told the whale to spit him up onto the ocean. And so I mentioned this because why? Because when you make a dua, when you're going through a musibah, when you're going through difficulty, it's not just you making the dua and asking Allah for your protection and asking for Allah for the solution. Who's also making dua for you? The angels around the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And there's not coincidence within the surah of Hud, we had the mention of Allah Ta'ala's arsh. And now we're getting indication about the dua that, you know, angels will also accept. What is it? That you see in Surah Ghafir, it says, and these angels pray for the forgiveness of those who believe. رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً عِلْمًا فَأَغْفِرْ لَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّعْبُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِيمَ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ It's a long dua. It's even longer than this. The angels make such a long dua for us. They say, for those who believe, O Allah, your mercy and knowledge comprehends everything. So forgive those who make tawbah, who repent, and follow your way, and save them from the fire, from the punishment of the fire. And it says, you know, later on, it continues to say, that Allah, whatever sins they're going through, Allah Ta'ala give them, Allah forgive them. And whatever trials they're going through, Allah Ta'ala protect them. So the angels of the throne make dua. That's why I remind everyone, if you're going through musibah, immediately pray two rakats. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. I cannot tell you how fast the solution will come from Allah. But see, be consistent and ask Allah. Allah is most wise. He knows how long the trial will be. But know that the solution, when it comes from Allah, it will lift the problem as if it was never there. Okay? وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ It says that the ark start to go and it sails with them. And this way of saying it is such a beautiful expression. Because, for example, I'll say the car moves with you as if you are the engine. The fact is the ark is not moving because it's you know, obviously the divine construction behind it. We spoke about it last time. But even at the end of the day, it's still a ship. It's still wood. It's still planks. It's still nails. It's nothing. If Allah Ta'ala wants, He'll sink it like everything else. So what happens is Yunus alayhi salam and the people are actually the ones putting the engine within the ark. And what is the engine? What is the drive of the ark? It is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the bismillah. By saying bismillah, these things move. I can't, you know, we forget bismillah in everything. We should say bismillah before everything. When we open the door, bismillah. When we eat our food, bismillah. How do you think these things will work without the engine?
The power behind everything is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I tell kids as an encouragement, I said, when you start your video games, Bismillah. And when you die, you say, Inna Lillah. You know, like just because we should be in the habit of dhikr all the time. When we open our laptops, Bismillah. One sheikh, one time, one of his students, he put in the projector wire. And then the sheikh asked him and said, did you say Bismillah when you did it? He said, no. He said, okay, take it out and put it back in and say Bismillah this time. So even that requires a barakah. We don't understand this. But you see this within the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Such a tremendous ark is being moved through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how is it moving? Fi mawjin kaljibal. Amidst a wave, a huge wave. A wave that looks like what? It looks like mountains. It is unbelievably terrifying. It's unbelievably scary. But it's so beautiful that Allah is telling us that on top of the ocean of the dunya, you can ride the waves with the remembrance of Allah. No matter how difficult dunya becomes, this world becomes, life becomes, if you remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even on top of this dunya, you'll ride and you'll be smooth on this ride. This is what it is when it means that a person, his heart is connected to Allah. Because no matter what happens in the world now, he always is fine, he's always comfortable. He knows that if I go back, my Allah is there. No matter what happens, I know he's in control. Why do you have any worry? Why do you have any concern? Okay? So like how the arsh is on top of the water. And so this is, again, nothing is coincidental. We spoke about this earlier in Surah Al-Hud, and a discussion about the ark is coming. The same way the arsh is on top of the water, and the same way the ark is on top of the water. Allah knows best. You know, nothing is a coincidence within his book. And you'll see many things when we go through the entire surah of Surah Al-Hud, inshallah. So quickly had the world been flooded. It's mentioned that as soon as Yunus alayhi salam, he boards it, and the believers board it. And you know that the signal for them to go into the ark was that the ovens will start to shoot out water, right? Water will come out of the ovens, the tandoor, which is underground. And so the entire world has been so, they said that the time that it took Nuh alayhi salam to get onto the boat and to take all the animals on and put all the believers on, immediately as soon as they got on, the entire world started to flood. And that's when the boat starts to lift from the ground. Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha, right? So then what happens is, amongst all of this, you're seeing the flooding. You're seeing the destruction of the houses, the civilizations, the buildings. Everything's going underwater. Nothing is surviving from this. Amongst it all, you see something in the distance. It's a boy. Okay, and the first person to notice is Nuh alayhi salam. Wanada Nuhu, right? وَنَادَ نُوحُ وَقَالَ نُوحُ يَا رَبَّ يَا بُنَيَّ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلِي yeah. So نُوح وَنَادَ نُوحُ يَنِبْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلِي يَا بُنَيَّ يَرْكَمْ مَعَنَا right? So it goes and says that his son, the Nuh alayhi salam called out to his son. And this is so interesting because you can imagine that an entire, it's a pandemic on the global scale. It's a destruction of civilizations. Everyone is dying, okay? What are you going to focus on, you know? The Quran focuses on something very important. Like this story had to be told. And had to be told to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make sure this message got out to them. That during the time when Nuh alayhi salam was, you know, going through this flood, he saw his son, okay? His son, which he gave the name of Kana'an, Allah Ta'ala knows best about his name. He calls out to his son, وَكَانَ فِي مَعَزِلِ He was in an isolated place. So the scholars mention that azal, the word azal, is a word that you're using when it's completely separated. By action, by distance, and by the fact that it, even by the heart, right? It's completely distant. So when a person is ma'azil, if he's in a place of separation, it means this person, first and foremost, you might have thought it meant just he was in a physical spot that was away from the ark, just a little distant away, isolated place, right? It's not the fact that Allah is just highlighting the fact that he was physically distant. There's something else being highlighted here, is that he was isolated both in place, and he kept him away from his father. وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلِ means that he never want to be anywhere where his father was. He was completely distant from his father. In his heart, in his actions, in his practice, there was nothing that he was with his father with at all. Okay? We have difficult lives. We have challenges. Sometimes we have people in our lives that they don't practice Islam at all. And we find it very hard to function with people like that. Because we just, as if we're living on two different worlds. You're living in one universe, I'm living in a different universe. You want to be safe and you want to understand this, that prophets had to deal with the same exact thing. With Ibrahim alayhi salam, you get the example of his father. And with Nuh alayhi salam, you get the example of his son. Okay? So he kept away from his dad completely. He didn't want to do anything to do with his father. You can imagine this as a father yourself, maybe, that you're so ready to go to the masjid. And your son's like, yeah, dad, I'm almost done with my video games. Oh, dad, I don't really want to go. I got homework to do. Oh, dad, and then, oh, dad, there's so many excuses, as if he wrote the book on excuses. There's so many excuses to keep him safe away from his father. You know, oh, son, let's get ready for Eid Salah. Dad, I'll get there. I'll get the last Jamaat. The last Jamaat is like, what, like 9 a.m.? Yeah, I'll get there. Don't worry, dad. Oh, you know, son, let's go early for the khutbah. Let's listen to what Mullah Shakil has to say. Well, you know, that Mullah, he talks about the same things every single time. There's nothing even good from him. You know, what's the point? Right? So, you know, the kid is like, you're trying your utmost best to be connected to him, to be attached to him. But he's like, I have nothing to do with you, dad. You know? And so, as an example, you have Nuh alayhi salam. He calls out to his son, Ya bunayya arkam ma'ana. Oh, my son, board with us. Okay, son, my beloved son. Ya bunay. He uses the form in Arabic when you call something by the small name. Usually you would say Ya bani or Ya ibni, oh, my son. Ya bunay is like, oh, my beloved son. Again, Nuh alayhi salam is a prophet, and he's always thinking about giving the most compassionate message. So he says, oh, my beloved child, my little child, my innocent child. The baby that I had on my lap, the one that I changed his diapers, the child that I grew up with, you know, that child, please board with us. Irkam ma'ana. Come on the boat with us. Wala takum ma'al kafirin. Don't be with the disbelievers. Okay? If you understood something, okay? If you're really feeling Nuh alayhi salam's message, he was not just calling them to get onto the ship. Okay? If you understood anything from what we spoke about before, is that his son was completely distant from him. So Nuh alayhi salam was not just telling him, get onto the ship, my son. He's saying, get off of this nonsense of kufr. Come onto Islam. Come onto Islam. Just leave this. Leave this life you're doing. This is not the moment anymore. Not the time anymore. You need to save your own physical life in this world. And you have to save your eternal life in the hereafter. Come onto deen, son. And so this is the thing. And this is the most beautiful, profound point of this entire discussion. Is that Nuh alayhi salam was told by Allah, you don't have to call them anymore. You don't have to, no one's going to believe. No more trying, no more need it. You don't need to do it anymore. But yet Nuh alayhi salam, because he's a prophet, he still calls and he doesn't give up. I could imagine if you replaced that son with anyone else, Nuh alayhi salam might have called out in the same exact way. But there's something very important to highlight about family members. So Allah told us that his son was being called. But this is because he's a prophet. He has utmost love for everyone. It's a reminder to Quraysh about their own Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to remind to us as Muslims about how the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not sleep night or day, take any rest, because he was so worried about us. And Quraysh have to be understanding that, look, this Nabi of theirs, he's so in love with them, you know. He can't even eat anymore properly because he's so worried about the people. The Nuh alayhi wa sallam, you can see this, that even at the moment where Allah told him that there's no one else going to believe, you don't have to call anyone, he still says, let me just try. Because his compassion, his love won't let him do anything else. You know, and you might think this as a son, like, man, why do my parents, why are they so annoyed? Like, why can't they leave me alone? I'm like, look, man, because they can't not leave you alone. They're your dad, they're your mom. You act like they have anything else to do. You are their life. You are everything to them. Your father gave his entire life for you, his wealth for you. He moved to countries for you. You know, like, we're so spoiled in America because of this nonsense of individualism. Start from the bottom now, here, from the bootstrap, whatever. Stupid things like, Allah protect us, you know? Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Our parents are the ones who did everything for us. We're living on the lap of luxury because our father had to work so many hours tirelessly and our mother had to stay up every single night to make sure that we were taken care of. You know, like, Allah give us understanding about how much parents love us. Because you see this in Nuh alayhi salam. Even at the last moment, he says, maybe there's a chance. Let me just call him. Oh, my son, look at this moment. Look at what's happening. The whole world is drowning. Son, you know, and don't think the ending was just an extra part. وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. These friends that you have who are disbelievers are not good for you. Okay? He said, don't be with the disbelievers, both in the fact that they're all drowning in the flood. I think that was obvious. Don't be with them there. But he was telling his son that these disbelievers you were hanging out with, these non-Muslims you were hanging out with, completely destroyed you. They ruined you. They messed you up. You're like, oh, he was a good friend. How could he be a good friend if he doesn't pray? How could he be a good friend if he's telling you to drink and disobey? How can he be a good friend if he's telling you to have something haram, which Allah didn't permit? How could these ever be good friends? Good friends are those that will connect you with Allah, connect you with something that matters, give you true success. If these friends themselves are, you know, they're living with their mothers and fathers until like they're 30 or 35 years old, playing video games till Allah knows when, how can these ever be good friends for you? Be connected to those people who will connect you to Allah. Whether it be a alim, a maulana, a sheikh, a good friend, a good wife, a good husband, whatever it might be. Connect yourselves with those people. Get on their boat. Okay? Nuh alayhi salam saying, get on this boat, son. وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Don't be with the disbelievers. So you can imagine, Nuh alayhi salam makes such a strong message towards his son, trying his best to convince him as much as he can to leave the lifestyle, leave what he's doing, protect himself both in dunya and akhirah. And you can imagine that, you know, you tell yourself, okay, the flood is coming. It came out of the tandoor. You know, like imagine like you're at home, your toilet starts overflooding, the sink is overflooding, the bathtub is overflooding, the oven is overflooding. You're like, I don't know what's happening anymore. I need to go to the masjid right now. Things are not making sense. You know, sometimes people have jinn problems. I say, subhanAllah, Allah give you the most sensitive issue that there's no way of solving this except going to Allah. You know, you only can go to Allah. Someone says this, I say, subhanAllah, maybe it's the time to wear hijab now, sister. You know, like, la ilaha illallah. You never know. قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ يَعْصِمُونِ مِنَ الْمَا. You think that at this moment his son would respond nicely. There's no, my father. You know, you didn't hear Ya Abi or Ya Abati. Nothing like that. Not even calling his dad by a nice name. Okay? There's no love in his speech. He doesn't say, Inshallah, Jazakallah, thank you, father, anything like that. I'm trying to get this point across that this son that Nuh alayhi salam had was absolutely rotten. Okay? Was absolutely rotten. He was bad. He was bad. It's not me who's saying it. Allah is going to say it. Okay? And there's no compassion in what he's saying. What did he say? سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَا. Father, he doesn't even say thank you for the suggestion or thank you for what you said. He just says, I'll take shelter on a mountain. سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ. If you know Arabic, he said any mountain. Any mountain will protect me from this. Oh yeah, I see the flood. Yeah, there's definitely a problem. But you know, we've had bad waters before. And you know, this is okay. Yeah, I know that. I know, you know, Bob's house, you know, just completely went down. Bob's furniture is now destroyed. There's no more furniture anymore. You know, it itself needs furniture. I completely understand that. No problem. But, you know, I'll just go to one of these mountains. You know, how high could the water reach? Okay? And he says, soon. You know, this is the craziest part. I mean, looking at the Arabic, you know, you usually say, awi, like if you're doing something. You don't add sa. Sa means in the future. So he says, sa'awi, I will soon take shelter on a mountain. Meaning in the future, time will come. I'll do it. Don't worry about it. Why are you bothering with me, dad? You might remember this. We might hear this all the time. Why is my dad, why are you bothering me? Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. The mountain will take care of me. It will save me from the fire. Save me from the water. And he goes and says, this mountain looks safe. So this is the craziest part, is that the punishment of Allah that is coming. And even in that moment, the disbelievers will not run to Allah. This is when you know that a person is never going to believe. Is that their hearts have been completely sealed at that moment. And obviously only Allah Ta'ala knows. He's giving us a snippet of someone's life who didn't believe. But it's not, we can never say this about people on the general sense, of course. But this is what it looks like. Is that even when the punishment is so blatantly clear, the pandemic, a global virus came that threw everyone down onto their knees. God has given his punishment and his test to the world. Yet no one believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when you know the disbelief has cemented in their hearts. So this is the idea here. So this is, you know, so imagine this. Again, put yourself in the sandals of the son of Nuh alayhi salam. I know we don't want to be there, but think about it. If you had to choose between a mountain and a boat, if you had to choose between a mountain and a boat to save you from the flooding, which one would you choose? Okay. The mountain is a distance away. You're going to have to run there. You're going to have to take a lot of effort to get there. And who knows if the water actually reaches that level or not. Maybe you'll sink because of it. You know, he's telling himself, logically speaking, waters don't reach that level. But obviously, this is not any normal water. Nothing is happening normal. For God's sakes, the tandoor is shooting out water, you know? It's itself a geyser. This stuff is not normal. If you had to choose between a mountain which is distant away versus a boat that is right in front of you, why would you not choose the boat? Okay? This is trying to explain to us listening about how rude and how insensitive and how uncaring is the son of Nuh alayhi salam. He doesn't care at all. Okay? And this is highlighting to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you would tell yourself, you know, logically speaking, it only makes sense to practice Islam. There's nothing that would harm you by practicing Islam. There's literally no danger in it. When Allah said he will take care of you, the master of the heavens and the earth, Rabbul Alameen, the one who the Arsh submits to, Everything submits to Allah. Shaitan submits to Allah. The jinn submit to Allah. There's nothing to harm you when you worship Allah. You pray your 5 times. You do your Ramadan. You do everything Allah Ta'ala tells you. It only makes sense. But yet to some people, it doesn't make any sense. So even when the punishment of Allah is coming and the boat is right there, even then people won't listen to you. It's telling the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that none of these things Quraysh are doing makes any sense. Why would you try your best to convince people who are absolutely crazy that they are blind? So Nuh Alayhi Salaam, he does something even beautiful, more beautiful than that. If you and I were there, I'd say, son, the boat is there. Can you just think for yourself right now, logically speaking? Just get on the boat. Makes total sense. Nuh alayhi salam tries to explain something even deeper to his son. What was the explanation? He said, قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِيمٌ. He said, look, son, boat, you know, mountain, car, camel, wherever you might be, wherever you are in the world, you could be on Mount Everest for Allah's sake, really. You could be wherever you want, but there's no protection today from the command of Allah. Son, you're not looking at the right thing. It's not about the water. It's not about the mountain. It's about who Allah has shown mercy to, who shown his kindness to. So what happens is what? People are looking at situations. Always look at situations. Profit is up. You know, market is down. This is happening. This issue is happening. Oh, there's a flood here. There's a toilet problem here. There's this issue or that issue. Oh, my wife is like this. My children are like this. And they're looking at all these situations, but they're not looking at the one who's controlling the situations. If you had to be smart and understanding about what you need to do when something is going out of your control, that you go to the one who is in control. We go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nuh alayhi salam says, son, you're looking at the objects in front of you, but the objects are nothing here. The one who's controlling everything behind the scenes is Allah. If you're looking at the mountain thing is going to protect you, Allah will make the mountain crumble so that it won't protect you. Even mountains will crumble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the point he's trying to say. So then what happens is what? While Nuh alayhi salam is delivering this message to his son, saying, Illa ma rahim, except the one who Allah Ta'ala will show mercy to. فَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ. A barrier came between them, a tremendous barrier, that the waves rose between high between the two. And what happens at the end? فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. A parent that loved their children right in front of their eyes sees a wave come between them and their children. Now I'm trying to make this clear about how huge this water was. It only makes sense to go on the boat. But even then, when people are blind, deaf, and dumb, they don't want to listen to you, don't want to talk to you anymore. What could you do? You know? فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. And that he was ultimately among the drowned. So the son of Nuh alayhi salam drowns ultimately in the flood. So then what happens is this, and we'll finish on this ayah, and then we'll finish the part tomorrow, inshallah. وَقِيلَ يَا أَضْبْلَعِي مَأَكِ وَيَا سَمَا أَقْلِي وَغِيدَ الْمَا وَقُضِي الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتَ عَلَى الْجُودِي. It's mentioned that the flood goes on for a long time. The Bible has it as 40 days. The 40 days of flood goes of Nuh alayhi salam. And people are the kafirin are trying to run away from it, but they cannot run away far enough. They won't be able to catch that distance. The flood is too fast. It drowns everything, completely submerges everything. And so finally, when the matter is done and the ark goes around, and Allah Ta'ala knows best again about the time, the duration, everything. We just know that it was running on the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, Bismillah, things go with the mercy of Allah and the blessings of Allah. So what happens is, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي. Then it was said, very casually, very relaxed. In English, for example, when you want to say, like, you know, something was done, you know, like someone tells you, like, yo, did you take care of that? Did you take care of the problem? So yeah, it was done. It was taken care of. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ. And it was just said, very easily, very relaxed. يَا أَرْضُ. Allah Ta'ala speaks to the earth. يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَأَكِ. If you want to know how the flood of Nuh alayhi salam happened, again, it came out from the ground. It came out from the sky. From both sides, water is coming. And that's why it's a punishment of Allah, which things just don't make sense about how it moves so quickly and how it captures everyone so fast. And that's why I told everyone that you saw a sample of that from the coronavirus. Really, you did. You know, we could see something so deep, how Allah Ta'ala can make things spread. You know, people are wondering, how did it do it so fast? How did it happen that in a matter of days, everything gets locked down and shut down? You know, it's really Allah's power. We have to wake up to these things. So Nuh alayhi salam, you know, in his time, Allah Ta'ala says to the earth, Ya أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَأَكِ. Who's going to stop the punishment? Who's going to reduce the flood? It's only Allah. Ya أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَأَكِ. Oh, earth, swallow up the water. The plants need it. Drain it down. Bring it back into the ground. وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي. And oh, sky, hold it back. Keep it back. وَغِيدَ الْمَاءِ. And so what happens is Allah tells the earth to submerge and sky stops bringing down water. So then the water subsided. It goes into the ground. And this is where you get these beautiful like springs and these underground geysers, right? These underground water areas, these ponds and pools. And Allah knows best if this is just from what happened in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, that these waters are just in the earth because of that time. Allah knows best, really. وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. And Allah says the matter was settled. Job was done, everything was taken care of. And the way Allah describes it is that وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِ. The ark was settled on Mount Judi. وَقِيلَ بُعْدَ لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And finally, when the matter is settled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ark settles down, believers are calm, rested on Mount Judi. And it was said, away with the oppressors, away with the ظالمين. وَبُعْدَ لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Okay? It was so effortless for Allah. A global pandemic, a global flood, right? A tragedy on the global scale. Allah Ta'ala can reduce it in a matter of what? Just saying one or two things. You know, Allah said to the earth, Allah said to the sky, water is gone. It's so effortless to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you know? And so it's mentioned about Nuh Alayhi Salam that he kept sending, you know, a bird out every single day to check if the water had dissipated, because they were situated on Mount Judi, right? They were on top of the mountain. And so the water was up for such a long time. So he kept sending out a bird. Allah knows best again. But the bird will go out and go out, and every single day will come back with nothing. So finally, Nuh alayhi salam, one day he sends out the bird. The bird comes back with an olive tree or an olive branch. And he goes and says, now, alhamdulillah, everything's at peace. If you're wondering why the olive branch, if you probably noticed on, like, for example, the US passport, the eagles holding these, the olive branch and things like that, and why it's a sign of peace, is because at the time of Nuh alayhi salam, they understood that the bird brought back that branch and everything was peaceful again. Okay? There's a connection with Tini with Zaytun. I don't have time to discuss it today. Maybe another day, inshallah. So in any case, it was so effortless to Allah. And just to give you this last thing, inshallah, in terms of where it was, Mount Judi, in our books, there is a discussion about it's on top of the area of Mosul. The Jews and the Christians have it as Mount Ararat, which is like on the edges of Turkey, which it could be. But it seems like what our scholars have said and what our ulama have seen, they said that some of them have seen it. They said that it's on top of Mosul, right, in the area of Iraq. And this is Mesopotamia. You guys probably in school, maybe you studied about Mesopotamia. This is one of it is the earliest civilization, right? And so this is where Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and if you see Nineveh right there next to Mosul, that's actually where Yunus alayhi salam gave his dawah. All these prophets are doing this effort in this area, okay? So in this area of Mosul, right on top is where there's a qadiyah, there's a village called Thamanin. Is a village of 80, because it's mentioned that on that mountain is that village, and there is where Nuh alayhi salam's believers of 80 people, they landed there and they made a civilization, a village there, subhanAllah. And so the village has that name because of that. So Allah Ta'ala knows best where it was, where's Mount Judi, everything like that. Allah Ta'ala knows best, you know. May you do the research, may you inform me too, inshallah, about these things, inshallah. And we'll continue, inshallah ta'ala, because there's one more part about Nuh alayhi salam's son, and then inshallah we'll finish it up tomorrow. May Allah give us all tawfiq. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.